Well, it's good to be with you again as we continue our sermon series on the Psalms. And as I've been preparing these messages, I have been struck by just how relevant these ancient writings are to our current situation. The Word of God really is alive, as He still speaks to us through the Scriptures today. And as Hebrews 4 verse 12 reminds us, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Today we turn our attention to Psalm 73, and as we will see, there are two distinct parts to the psalm. There's a before and an after, if you like. And although these words were written some 3,000 years ago, they convey the same message of hope in God to us today as they did in Asaph's time. And so we read Psalm 73. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles, their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from the burdens common to man. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. The evil conceits of their minds know no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. In their arrogance they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, "How can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge?" This is what the wicked are like, always carefree. They increase in wealth. Surely in vain have I kept my heart pure. In vain have I washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been plagued. I have been punished every morning. If I had said, "I will speak thus," I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me, till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Surely you will place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so when you arise, O Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by your right hand, by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you, and earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. Often it's very easy for us to see God in the good times. Speak to people who are going through a time of real blessing, and if they have an understanding of the role that God has been playing in their lives, their comment is usually something along the lines of, "God is good." But where is God when things are not going well? When evil seems to surround us, when tragedy seems to chase us down, or when the hard times just won't stop, where is God? It's a question which has been asked virtually since the beginning of time. And it's very easy for me to give you pat answers like, "Not to worry, God is in control." Because our struggles are real. And even though we might know that ultimately God is in control, we would still like to see Him doing something when we feel that we need Him most. Asaph is the author of Psalm 73, and he is generally believed to have been a musician for David. And the setting of the psalm is during a time when David was in the middle of a crisis. King Saul was threatened with the prospect of David replacing him on the throne, so David and Asaph were quite literally running for their lives. And Asaph begins Psalm 73 by envying the wicked. There are few things more frustrating for a Christian than watching people who are about as godless as they could possibly be, but their lives just seem to be wonderful. Life for them is just great, And we really struggle with that sometimes. And some of you have made huge sacrifices in your desire to be obedient to God's call on your life. But when we look at how the wicked prosper, there is a dangerous trap into which we often fall. And this is how Asaph puts it in verse 13. Surely in vain have I kept my heart pure. In vain have I washed my hands in innocence. We need to guard our hearts against thoughts like that, because they can only bring us trouble. If you read the first half of the 73rd Psalm, you can sense the feelings of hopelessness and despair, but that's a bad place to be. Yes, it's unfair, and no, we often don't understand why bad things happen to good people, and only good things seem to happen to bad people. But when we have that kind of attitude, it does us no good. It can only do harm. When we harbor that kind of resentment, it can only weaken our faith. It will never strengthen it. And Asaph begins to question if all of this is worth it. And if we're entirely honest, we can certainly identify with his words. Surely in vain have I kept my heart pure. In vain have I washed my hands in innocence. However, Asaph also realized that acting on that belief would have betrayed God. And the key, the transition here, is to be found in verses 16 and 17. This is where we see the before and the after. Firstly, there's a great example in verse 16 of a believer struggling to understand the situation. He writes, "When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me." There are two unhealthy characteristics which we tend to display in hard times. Firstly, it's all about me. When we think about how God fits into our situation, what we do then is we tend to evaluate everything based on what happens to us, because we think we're the center of the universe. That's the first trap, because when I buy into the lie that it's all about me, I will then judge God and his goodness, or lack thereof, through my selfishness. And secondly, the second trap is that it's all about now. Asaph initially judges his walk with God not only by what is happening with him, but by what is happening with him today, right now. It's all about me, and it's all about now is a dangerous combination. But then we have this transition in Psalm 73 in verse 17. Again, verse 16 says, "When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me." And then Asaph writes, "Till I entered the sanctuary of God, then I understood their final destiny." Now, of course, the sanctuary which Asaph speaks of here is not just the tabernacle, the place where he worshipped, or to put it in our language today, the sanctuary is not just a church building. Rather, it is when we come into a deeper fellowship with God. It is when we tabernacle with him as he tabernacles with us. It is when we find our sanctuary in him through Jesus Christ. That's when our lives really begin to change. And this is a new perspective which then begins to change everything. And from this point on, from verse 17, Psalm 73 is completely different. Verse 17 is the pivotal verse where Asaph describes the way that God transformed his thinking. And he talks about the utter and the complete destruction which will fall on the wicked, if not immediately. He then compares that to his own future. What's important here for us to see is that he is now beginning to see his eternal prospects eternally. This life will still be hard, and we shouldn't try to fool ourselves into thinking that it won't be. Nevertheless, there is a dramatic change of heart as you read through the psalm. So much so that it seems to have been written by two different people, which in a spiritual sense it was. Asaph then goes on to say that he has made the sovereign Lord his refuge. The word refuge here means hiding place, the kind of place where someone would go during a storm. And so Asaph has moved from the brink of counting his faith as worthless and speaking that lie to others to being a powerful evangelist for God. Asaph didn't have the benefit of being able to read passages of scripture like Romans chapter 12, but it's almost as if he did, because here was a man who had been transformed by the renewing of his mind. One of the greatest lessons which we can learn from Psalm 73 is that nothing changed materially for Asaph. Nothing, in the short term at least, changes for us as we take our eyes off of ourselves and our circumstances and we look instead to God for strength to keep going. The bad guys still seem to be winning. But now in Christ we have a new and a proper perspective on life. Even through the hard times, even when we see the wicked still prospering while we're not, and it all seems so unfair, God gives us a peace and an assurance that there is a bigger picture which we cannot see. And we need to learn how to develop this discipline of stepping back, of coming to God and seeing things through the eyes of eternity when the hard times come. Because it is at times like that when we begin to understand that it is during the struggles in life that now, by grace, by His grace, God is closest to us. And there will continue to be times for all of us when we will cry out, God, are you really good? Are you really as powerful as you say? It's actually okay to ask these questions. There will be times in your life when you will question God's goodness. And there will be many times when you may even be angry with Him. But He understands anger far better than you or I do. The point is this: our answers to these questions should never come out of a glance at the here and now and from our own limited understanding, because they will always be exactly that. They will be limited. Rather, they should always be evaluated in the light of the cross of Jesus Christ, what He did at Calvary, and how all of this fits into His glorious eternal plan. It might well be a cliche to say that God has a plan, but it remains the truth. Just because you might not be able to see His plan and His purposes doesn't mean that they don't exist. 1 John 4 verse 4 says, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." And then finally, the last verse of Psalm 73 again. "But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds." When we tell of His goodness, when we tell of all His good deeds, when we witness to others of the goodness of God, He truly does begin to transform our minds and our thinking. So be blessed, and as always, stay strong in Him.